If you would tonight, if nobody's got a song, to Revelation chapter number 20. Revelation chapter number 20. I was thinking, we was talking about some court cases, and I was thinking about watching when you see what's happening in this nation, it's sort of like a circus. Used to, you had three different areas of government, and you had the judicial, executive, and then legislative, and we have gotten some of the judicial that's running crazy, and they don't care what the laws have been wrote, and of course we have different ones doing different things, but I think the most out of place is the judicial. And what happens is they find the favorite place, and the place, if it's liberals wanting their way, they find a liberal spot with liberal judges, liberal courts, and then they challenge and stop anything going on. It's amazing the money that's been spent just since President Trump has been in over foolishness. And you know, it's one thing to challenge something if it's legal. It's another thing just to hold it up in courts. And any of you that's been involved understand that courts, a normal working man can't hardly afford to go to court. I mean, it takes everything that you got. And it's sad. It's a sad situation. But let me give you some good news. It's not always going to be that way. I don't know if it'll ever get straightened up here, but it's going to straighten up soon, somewhere down the road. Amen. Revelation chapter 20. Let me bring you up real quickly, and then we'll get into this. When you look in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, you find the entire church age represented. Chapter 4, you see a type of the rapture take place. The church is no longer mentioned. They're in heaven. And everything's on the earth is a great tribulation. And the tribulation is dealing with Israel. Then there's also a couple other characters that will show themselves during this time to do the bidding of Satan. One is called the beast or the Antichrist. The other is the false prophet. All the way through, you'll find that God's judgment is happening upon the earth during the tribulation time. From chapters number 4 all the way to chapter number 19. And you find that represented. Then chapter 19, you find that Jesus, the Son of God, is married in heaven to the bride, the church. The church has not been mentioned until this time. And now you find a wedding and those invited to the wedding supper. Then you find him coming back to the earth. When he comes back to the earth, he's going to set his feet upon the earth and he's going to reign upon the earth. The Bible teaches that it will be a 1,000-year reign. There's a lot of people that does not believe in the 1,000-year reign of Christ. The odd thing about it is there's more written about that than any other prophecy in the Bible. And it is not written as a fictitious or symbolic. It is written as a literal reign of Christ. Amen. Amen. He is going to reign. Right. What we're going to get into here tonight is looking at the 1,000-year reign of Christ. No way we can do it justice, but I want to show you five things without going into great depth. Might go into, and we might go into Isaiah, probably won't go in any other book other than Isaiah, even though we go in a lot of books. But I want to show you what is taking place in the 1,000 years with five different ones. One, our Savior. Number two, Satan. Number three, the saints. Number four, the sinners. Number five, society. And so let's begin reading, if you would. And if you'll note, in the last part of chapter number 19, The Bible says in verse 20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he had deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. Now, all of you heard about the mark of the beast and all those things. And them that worshipped his image, these both were cast where? Alive where? Into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with a sword, him that sat upon the horse, that's Jesus, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Then in verse chapter 20 and verse 1, I want to read the first 10 verses. That's where I'm going to spend my time tonight. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain was in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him, what? 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till what? 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, in which I had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ, what? 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until what? 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. Now the second death, if you want to know what that is, you can just look over in verse number 14 of same chapter. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire, and this is what? The second death. So in other words, those who has part in the first resurrection, the second death has no part. They won't be cast in the lake of fire. But it says, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him how long? 1,000 years. And when the what? 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and could pass the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented, what? Forever and ever. The Bible teaches that there will be a couple things that will take place. The next prophetic thing happens will be the rapture, the catching away of the saints. When the saints are gone, when the rapture takes place, the thing we call rapture, all those who are saved will be in heaven. The earth will then be turned over to the witness of Israel, the 144,000. The Antichrist will show himself, the mark of the beast will come about, and all those things that the Bible teaches there throughout the book of Revelation. But in the meantime, those who are saved will go through and they will be judged. They will go before the judgment seat of Christ, and they'll be judged according to their works, and they'll receive their rewards. They will be made ready for the wedding. Then there will be a marriage to the Lamb. And all this takes place while the tribulation is going on the earth. Some people believe that we'll all go through the tribulation. Some people believe we're going through it right now. The Bible doesn't teach that, and there's some reasons why we can't be going through it right now. But now I do want you to understand that then when Jesus comes back, if you read all of chapter 20, when Jesus comes back, chapter 19 rather, he will bring with him the saints. And he will come back and he will come, he will establish his kingdom. Now, let me establish what he will be doing. Look back in your Bibles just a few moments, if you would, and notice in verse number 4 again. The Bible says, the last very last sentence, and they lived in what? Reign with who? Christ 1,000 years. Look in verse number 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall what? Reign with who? Jesus 1,000 years. So number one, you need to understand Jesus is going to be reigning. He's going to be reigning and he's going to set up a government. The amazing thing is, all the way from the beginning, when Adam and Eve lost their position in the Garden of Eden, sin has come in, corrupted the earth, and that's what the little book is all about. When the seven seals and seven judgments and seven vials are poured out, that is all part of taking the earth back from Satan. And then what will happen is, at the end of that, Christ will come back, take the beast and false prophet, cast him in the lake of fire, bound Satan for 1,000 years, and he will reign upon this earth 1,000 years. And so here we find Jesus will reign. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9 that he will reign with a rod of iron. And so we know he'll be doing that. He'll be ruling. When someone goes against his authority, they will be dealt with swiftly, and they will be dealt with harshly, and it will not be tolerated in that time. There'll only be one king on the earth when Jesus comes back. When you read, and I don't have time to read all of it, but I'll give you some probably before tonight's over, but when you read about Jesus' reign, when it talks about him reigning with a rod of iron, that means that he's going to be in control. There's not going to be any second guess. There's not going to be any going to a court, higher court. There's not going to be any going to a committee. There's going to be one that's going to rule this earth. That's going to be Jesus. He's going to reign. He's going to rule. And not only that, he's going to be receiving praises from everybody on the earth. Now listen to me. The first time he come, he allowed himself to be taken and nailed to a cross. When he comes this time, there'll be no nailing to the cross. There'll be no people laughing and mocking at him. There'll be no people making fun of him. There'll be no people going against him. There'll be no people doing none of those things during this reign, because he will not only reign and rule, he will be receiving praises from everybody. Now, it's important to understand, the Bible says in Isaiah 40, verse 5, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it all together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." Finally, he will be received for who he is. Now, what will Satan be doing during this time? Look back in your Bibles. The Bible says in verse number 1 through 3 that there's going to be an angel that comes down in verse number 1, having a key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And verse 2, he's going to lay hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is who? The devil and Satan. And he's going to bound him for how long? He's going to be cast in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years and shut up in verse 3. And if you look in verse 3, there's going to be a seal set upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till when? 1,000 years. In other words, he's going to be put in prison. He will not be on the earth dealing with people during 1,000 years when Christ reigns. Now, so what you need to understand, and by the way, let me say this because it's important for you to understand. When you read Matthew chapter 25, chapter 24 and 25 is prophecy in Matthew. In chapter 25, verses 25 through 41, it talks about Jesus coming and he's taking the sheep and the goats. How many of you read that? And he puts the sheep on his right hand, the goats on his left hand. Now, a lot of people has taken that to believe that when Jesus comes back and he judges people, the saved will go to his right, the lost will go to his left, the saved go to heaven, the lost will go to hell. That's not what it's talking about at all there. They are being judged in relationship to how they treated Israel during the tribulation period. If you notice, if you read those verses, chapter 30 through 46, you will find that the whole thing is built around to where they go, those that goes into the kingdom and those going to hell, how they treated Israel and the people of Israel during the tribulation time. Now, that don't mean they'll be saved. That means they get the privilege of going into the kingdom. Now, everybody that goes into the kingdom on the earth will not be saved people. There will be nations that will go into the kingdom that befriended Israel and got to go into the kingdom because of the privilege of the brethren And remember, that's when Jesus said, he said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. They said, when do we do that? He said, when you did it to my brethren, you did it to me. And so that's the relationship that they have. And so there, you need to understand that. And those that went against Israel and those that worked with the Antichrist, of course, they would have had the mark of the beast. They will not get the privilege of going into the kingdom. You follow me? Now, in saying that, Satan is not going to be around deceiving people for 1,000 years. Somebody said, well, that means they'll be perfect. Oh, no. Long way from being perfect. Not only will he be in prison, but after the 1,000 years is over, he will be loose. Look back in your Bible just a moment in chapter 20. And notice what happens when he gets loosed. Verse number 7, when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go forth to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. Gog and Magog gather together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. So how many people is he going to deceive and get to go with him? A lot of people, isn't there? Now, remember that, man. We're going to come back to that. And notice verse 9. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about. That's where Jesus is reigning on the throne of David. And the beloved city, that's talking about Jerusalem. And fire came down from God out of heaven, devoured them. And then the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are. And there he'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. So I want you to know something. Satan's going to be bound at first, and then when the 1,000 years expired, he's going to be loosened for a little while. And he's going to go out and gather an army to come against Jesus. And when they surround the camp in Jerusalem, fire's going to come from heaven and destroy him. He's going to be cast, and he's going to be judged, and he's going to be cast in the lake of fire. Remember what Matthew said, Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, that the devil, that hell was prepared for the devil, or verse 41, the devil and his angels. And so that's who it was prepared for. Now, you know the amazing thing is, now picture this a minute. Now get this in your mind. For 1,000 years, people has been under the reign of Christ, under his rule. They've seen him heal. We'll get to it in a minute. They'll see him work miracles. They'll see the world prosper. They'll see a curse lift. And the Bible says even the deserts shall bring forth us flowers. They're going to see great miracles. They're going to see great wonders from Jesus. But then after 1,000 years, they have never been deceived, those who are here. And they'll be populating the earth. Those that are here, and then what will happen is this. He will be loose for a little season. And isn't it amazing how many people that he gathers together come after living for 1,000 years? Somebody said, preacher, if everything was just ideal conditions, man would be okay. They were perfect conditions, and look what happened to Adam and Eve. Did you notice? Look at what happened to them. Then, of course, we had the beginning when they were living 900-some years old. And right before Noah got into the ark, look what happened there. Men got waxed worse and worse, and look what kind of corruption it ended up with. Then, of course, they come off the ark. Men decided to build their own government. They decided to build Tyre up to heaven. Look what happened to them there. After the goodness of God. Then, of course, they come, and he called Abraham. And Abraham, he called a people out to bring a Savior out of it. And guess what happened? Just a short period of time, and they were in bondage of Egypt. And in bondage for over 400 years. Then the law come about. And when the law come about, it ended with people taking Jesus and nailing him to the cross. Because they hated law. Then the church came about. When the church ends up, it's going to be a time of great apostasy, as we're seeing all around us. Then, of course, it's going to come the tribulation time. And it's going to end up with the Battle of Armageddon. And then going to come the millennium, the thousand-year reign, and it's going to end up with Satan bringing an army with the number of sands of the sea against Jesus. Isn't it amazing? But anyway, you find that what happened is that Satan will be bound and he'll be loosed. Now, the third thing is, how about the saints? What will happen there? Well, the Bible teaches that those of us who are saved, when Christ calls forth the church, we will go and we'll go through the marriage. We'll have our glorified bodies, and when we come back, we will reign with him. We will be reigning on the earth. There will be nations and people walking upon the earth, and we will be reigning with Christ. That will be our position in the 1,000-year reign. Did you notice how many times that it said that we will be reigning with him? Those are the of the first resurrection. Did you notice that we will be resurrected? We will have resurrected bodies. And so we will be there in our resurrected bodies, and therefore we will be the ones that Christ puts in responsibility. Those of us who've been faithful over some things here on earth, he'll make us rulers over many. And somebody said, well, I don't understand how all that's going to work. Well, Christ is going to set up a government, and he's going to use the saints to reign with him and to make sure everybody's doing what they need to be doing wherever they're at and make sure it's going on. Now, how about the sinners? Excuse me a minute. What will they be doing? Well, when you read, and I don't have time to go through all this, but we've done this in studies before. But when you read the sinners that's there, and you say, well, not only do the sinners enter in from the judgment of the nations, but also the Bible says that they'll be reproducing, having babies all during that 1,000 years. So, but it also says in Isaiah that babies will live to be 100 years old. And men will live to be ripe old ages. Remember at the beginning, people lived to be 800-900 years old. And it was nothing. Adam was 930 years old when he died. Methuselah was 969 years old when he died. And of course, as time went on and sin got greater, lifespans went down. Now about 70 or 80 years is what the Bible predicts that we'll be seeing during this time. But the Bible says when this happens, because Satan will be bound, and because Christ will be reigning, and because conditions on the earth will be lifted, that people will be living to be older age, but they'll be reproducing. But there will be sinners. Now, the amazing thing is, like I said, you would think, and there will be some of them that will be converted during that time, no doubt, but what you see in the sinners that's here is this. It's sort of like sometimes you have lost people that can come to church. They can sing songs with you. They can go through things. But they've never surrendered in their heart Christ. The reason why each of us, the struggle that we had with surrendering ourselves to Jesus was this. Letting somebody else rule our lives besides ourselves. They will have the same problem in the millennium. They'll have to worship Jesus because everybody, the Bible says, if you read the book of Isaiah, everybody's got to come in there and worship certain times. They're going to worship, but they're going to resent it, but they aren't going to say nothing because they can't. But at the end of it, when Satan's loosened, guess what they do? They come against him. And of course, when they come against them, the Bible says fire's going to take and cast them in the lake of fire. That's what's going to come down. Now, and as a matter of fact, the very next five verses that we didn't read in chapter 20 is when the great white throne judgment happens of all lost people and they're cast into hell. And so they will be forced to live right and do right when Jesus is reigning, but they'll resent it. They won't like it. And because when he reigns, he's going to have judgment. Now, I wrote some things down from this book. There's a Dwight, I can't think of his name right now. I went blank. I'll think of it in a minute. But anyway, he wrote a book called Things to Come, Dwight Pentecost. And he wasn't Pentecost, that's his name. Dwight Pentecost, he wrote this Things to Come. And I copied some things down right here about how society would be. He's got a good book. If you ever want to read a book about what the Bible teaches about the thousand-year reign, he's got an excellent book on that. But these are some things that's going to take place. This is how society is going to be for a thousand years. Going to be peace. Not going to be any war for a thousand years. They're going to beat all instruments of war. The Bible says they're going to take the swords and spears and beat them into plowshares. A cessation of peace. Personal peace, national peace. There's going to be joy. It's going to be the trademark of the kingdom of God. It's going to be joy on the earth. It's going to be holiness. The Bible says even the hoofs of the horses is going to ring forth holiness. The Bible says there'll be glory. Glory to God will be displayed upon this earth in Isaiah chapter 4 and 35. Comfort. Jesus will minister to the people here upon this earth. And it'll be a time of comfort. Isaiah chapter 12, Isaiah 30, Isaiah 40, 49 talks about it. Perfect justice. You say, preacher, we can't seem to get justice here on the earth. It'll be perfect justice upon that kingdom. Jesus will reign, and the whole entire earth, Isaiah 9, 32, and 42, and 65, all talks about it. The justice that will take place. Knowledge will be increased. The Bible talks about it in Isaiah chapter 11, Isaiah 41, 54, that people's knowledge shall be increased because they'll not have all the temptations and drawings of Satan driving against them. Instruction will be given by the king, the Bible says in Isaiah 2 and 29 and 32 and as well in Jeremiah and places. The removal of curse will take place. The curse that was placed in Genesis chapter 3, Isaiah 11 and 65 both says that it'll be removed. What will happen when it's removed? The thorns will give place to flowers. What will happen? The lions will lay with lambs. What will happen? The goats will lay with bears. What will happen? Children can play with poisonous snakes and asps, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9. All that can take place because the curse will be moved. And society will not no longer know and experience the curses that was put in Genesis chapter 3. Not only that, but also sickness will be removed. Isaiah chapter 33 talks about how that Jesus will heal people. When they need healing, they can go to him in Jerusalem. It's the king, and go before the king, and he will heal them. As a matter of fact, a lot of deformity and so forth that he talks about will happen then. And sometime we may pick a time and go and show you a few things. I'm going through this quick because I've got a list and I want to finish before I close up. The Bible also says that protection of Israel during the time in Isaiah 41 and 62 that God's going to protect and the Lord's going to be our protection. There'll be no oppression from social oppression, political oppression, religious oppression, no oppression during that day, according to Isaiah 14 and 42 and 49. Immaturity, mental retardation, and issues like that people struggle with now will no longer be there, the Bible speaks of in Isaiah 65, 20. As I said, the reproduction of people will happen, according to Jeremiah chapter 30 and Ezekiel 47. Be no laziness. Everybody's got to work. No welfare. The economic system will be provided by the labor of people's hands. Somebody said, well, you know, right now, well, I've got a bad back. I got to get a check. If you got a bad back, you go see the king then. But you're expected to grow your own stuff. And guess what? The Bible says it's going to be like in the days of Paul. You don't reuse that reference, but in Paul's day, he said this. He said, listen, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Somebody said, well, they won't work. I'll tell you what, if they get hungry enough, they'll work. The problem is we don't let people get hungry enough. We run to rescue them and every little thing. And, you know, I don't mind help people that needs help. I don't mind a bit. I think that's good. But nothing gets under my skin anymore than keeping up people that's healthier than I am. And the only thing wrong with them, they're too lazy to work. And so therefore, I think if you can work, you ought to work. Amen? Now, not only that, but notice this. He also says that it will prosper. Economically, abundance, and so forth, there'll be no want, according to Isaiah 35, Isaiah 30, and so forth. Also, the Bible says in Isaiah 30, verse 26, that the sun will shine like, or the moon will shine like the sun, and the sun will shine seven times brighter than it does right now. In other words, daylight will be much brighter during that time when Jesus is upon this earth. It'll be amazing, the brightness. Also, according to Zephaniah 3, 9, we'll have a unified language, one language all over the world. Everybody speaks the same language. There'll be unified worship, according to Isaiah 45 and 66. Also, the presence of God will be manifested among us, according to Ezekiel 37. Also, we'll find that during this time that we have the reign of Christ, that as he reigns, we will understand that he is truly the Son of God. Now, let me say this, and I'll close, but I want you to get this. After this happens, somebody said, well, I don't understand this old earth. The Bible is clear what happens after the 1,000 years. Let me give you this, and I'll close. After 1,000 years, Satan's loose. He gets an army. He comes against the camp of saints. Him, he is cast into hell. All the lost people are brought before the great white throne judgment in verse 11 through 15 there, chapter 20. Everybody not found written in the book of life is cast in the lake of fire. This is second death. This world will spend eternity. Then death is cast in the lake of fire. No more dying. No more sin. Nothing. Then chapter 21, 22 in the book of Revelation then tells that in chapter 20, verse 11, John says the old earth, after Christ reigns for 1,000 years, is done away with. Then there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. There's going to be a city come down that Jesus went to prepare. Going to sit above the earth, and the glory of it's going to shine upon the earth. And the Bible says the kings of the earth are going to walk therein in the presence of it. And the Bible describes that city, the streets of gold, the gates of pearl, the walls of jasper, the foundations. And it talks about the Lamb, talks about no more death, no more dying, no more parting, no more sickness, no more tears. All those things in a new heaven, new earth. People say, preacher, do you really believe that?
Amen.
I do. Do I believe he came the first time? I do. Do I believe he died upon the cross of Calvary for my sins?
Amen.
I do. Do I believe he was the Son of God? I do. Do I believe he was the one that created the world? I do. Do I believe he's at the right hand of the Father? I do. Do I believe he's coming back? I do. Do I believe he reigned for 1,000 years, literally on the earth? I do. Do I believe he'll judge all the lost people and cast them in hell? I do. Do I believe he's gone to prepare a place, this new city? I do. Do I believe it's the heavenly Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem? I do. Do I believe I'll live there one of these days? I do. You say, what did you do to deserve it? He did it. I just believed on what he did. Therefore, I've got a home in heaven. Therefore, Jesus told his disciples when he left this, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Amen.
Do I believe it? You say, how? That's not, the how's not up to me. But I believe it just as it's written. And I believe a man's a fool if he wants to take Revelation and try to make it some mystical,
yes,
symbolic,
amen,
book.
Amen.
Jesus said himself, blessed are those that read this. And he also said that we better not take nothing away from it. And we better not add nothing into it. Amen. Maybe tonight, God's speaking your heart as we get a song of invitation, Brother Porter. How about tonight?